It's a special day. It happens once a year when we honor the resurrection, the work of God. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, known throughout the world as Easter Sunday morning. That he, the truth that Jesus is no longer dead. The head of every other religion is dead, but Jesus is alive. And he was crucified in our place. We can turn this down just a little because when I get louder, I'm going to scare myself. So this is the essence of the gospel, that he was crucified in our place. Then he was buried, and then he was raised from the dead. This is the essence, the whole point of the gospel, that on the third day he rose from the dead. And he broke the power of sin to rule over you and over me. And the blood that was poured out on the cross releases forgiveness as given to every person who receives it. The free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. You can't be handsome or pretty enough to get it. You can't be charming enough. But you can give God your sin and he will give you his life. I don't know where you are in your life right now. Some of us, in fact, most of us have had rough times in life. Anybody with me here? We faced all kinds. How many have faced all kinds of ups and downs? Gone through all kinds of losses. Is that right? And setbacks. Gone through all kinds of discouragements. And at times, you even desire to give up and throw in the towel. I'm here to tell you the gospel declares that God can raise you up because he raised Jesus up. And when you've given up on yourself, the Lord has not given up on you. When you don't think you can make it through, God will make it through for you. He will bring you through. When you don't think you can do it, he'll do it. God loves you, and here's the deal. He's no respecter of persons. God is not a God of partiality. He not only knows where you are in your life right now, he knows the deepest needs that you're facing, and he knows exactly who he created you to be and how he can get you there in your life. The Bible says that you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he's planned beforehand, that you should walk in them. And the Bible says, I love this, his eyes saw my unformed substance, and in his book they were written, every one of them, the days he's formed for you, when as yet there were none of them. The Lord has the path of your life. I want you to know this, that God loves you, and this is the truth of truths. You can be scarred or marred and have made your heart hard, but the Lord, through his great mercy, will save you and heal you when you put your total trust in him. Now, we're going to talk about first things first here. We're going to get into this, but before we do, let's go ahead and lift up our hearts and let's just pray for a moment. Would you pray with me? And just lean your heart up to the loving God. Just open your heart to him. Like you just open, swing open both doors of your heart. If you haven't done that in a long time, just open your heart to the one who loves you, who cares for you. Just submit afresh today. That's right. That's right. Open up to him. He responds to an open heart. Father God, we thank you for your presence right here, right now. We thank you for the sensitivity that you have to each of us, no matter where we are. We thank you that you're kind and you're very caring. And even in this moment, we open up to the compassion you want to pour upon each soul. Now, Lord, let there come light to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First things first, why did they crucify Jesus? Why did they crucify Jesus? There's three reasons. There's just three reasons that they accused him of. The first one is that he claimed to be the Son of God. How about that? He claimed to be, when he it happened early on with Peter, and there he says, who do men say that I am? And all of them said, well, some say this, some say, and Peter, you know, who usually hadn't had a good thought lately, pops up and says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, knowing Peter well, says, you didn't come up with that on your own, buddy. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Later in the Sanhedrin, when he was on trial, he was one of my favorite favorite verses now in Daniel 7:13. I won't quote it to you, but it's about, Jesus uses the term the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. And it's all about him coming in glory. That God, he comes before the Father, and the Father gives him a dominion and glory and a kingdom. It's all about this great exchange. So he uses the term Son of Man. And so he's starting to quote about the Son of Man, and then they looked right at him, the Sanhedrin, are you the Son of God? And he affirmed, he just went, basically, you said so. And that's the reason, that's the first reason. Second reason, they crucified him. Are you ready for this? That he healed on the Sabbath. Could you imagine somebody coming in the church and getting better and walking out and everybody being mad about it? That's what the Pharisees were. They were ticked. You know why? Because they considered that work. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Jesus came against that over and over and over, because when people gathered and they were gathering their hearts together for God, Jesus reached out. He healed so many people on the Sabbath, so many. And that's a reason that they were angry, because he was working. And the third reason that Jesus was crucified is just because of this. You're going to love this one. The Pharisees looked down on him and called him a friend of sinners. He was crucified for being a friend of sinners. Get a load of that. Hey, aren't you glad? It wasn't a title that Jesus came up for him with for himself, but when they put it on him, he accepted it. He said, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll be a friend of sinners. And that's why he was crucified. And even the devil did not know what was going to happen. The mystery of Jesus coming to earth, dying on the cross, and the devil thought he'd done it and got it done, and it's over now. And had the devil known that he would rise from the dead, he would have never gotten involved with the crucifixion. But Jesus rose from the dead and broke the power of death to rule in the human heart. Do you know what this means? It means when you die physically, you don't die. You go on. You don't die. When you die physically, it's just graduation day. If you know Jesus. If you've submitted to Jesus. You can't give him lip service and do it. You got to live in him and know him and walk with him. So a good question to ask yourself is, where will you be in 100 years from now? Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be 100 years from now? Think about that. I want you to receive Jesus Christ, see? I want you to receive his forgiveness. I want you to receive the forgiveness of all your sins. I want you to, your name to be written in the book of life. I want to, that when it's time for, and we'll get to this later, but when the books are opened, I want your name to be in the book of life. It's dire consequences for those whose names are not found there. So I want to talk to you today a little bit about God's goodness. I want you to know about the depths of his love for you. I don't think anybody can really scratch the surface very much on knowing the weight of God's love for each individual. It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. Do you know that God has numbered all the hairs on your head? Not just knowing the number of them, each of them are numbered. I'm sorry, Jim. I could get a lot of mileage out of that, because I was in the shower, and I think 14 and 96 and 103 fell out. I'm not certain. Oh, but he has the follicles numbered too. Come on, give me a high five. He says, are you not more valuable than birds? Amen. So it doesn't matter how deep a hole you've dug for yourself. It doesn't matter how far you've run away from God. It doesn't matter how many sins you've piled up in your life. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Even in that condition, the Lord saves the crushed in spirit. He's near to you, in your personal darkness, and anyone who calls upon him will be saved. So I want you to see the goodness of God in the way that Jesus treated people. The Bible says that in Jesus' earthly ministry, there was a man that came up to him, and this man was a leper. The interesting thing about the description of this man is the Bible says that he was full of leprosy. He didn't have a little bit. He was covered. He was full of leprosy. Now, this is an interesting picture because in the Old Testament, leprosy is a picture of sin. You say, well, how'd that be? Well, leprosy is a disease that numbs the feeling of pain in your body. Did you hear me? Leprosy is a disease that numbs the pain or feeling in your body. So, for instance, if you have a hammer in one hand and you have a nail in the other, and you're nailing and you have leprosy, you can hit your thumb and not feel it. You can hit it so much, you'll knock it off. And people use sin to numb the pain in their lives. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You have pain in your heart, and you start to use a sin to alleviate the pain. You turn to something other than Jesus to heal you of the pain, and you turn to a substance or something. And you do that for a while, and that doesn't work. And you do another one for a while, and that doesn't work. And you do another one for a while, and that doesn't work. And now you're a picture of the person who is full of leprosy. You're full of sin. And what happens to a leper? He begins to lose the precious things in his life. And what happens to the sinner? The sinner who's given over to sin begins to lose the precious things in his life. He begins to lose all kinds of things. Relationships. The more you give to sin, the more desensitized you are because you're numbed out. You're numbing out the pain. Does that make sense? But you probably have your own scenario of the things that you've given to. Here's the Lord over here, and he wants to bless you and heal you. And let me just go ahead and tell you, I can talk for 3 or 4 hours just on the process that I went through to cry out to God in the midst of my pain, with my wife standing here all the time going, yep, 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 yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, yep, yep. Oh, then again, oh yeah, oh yeah. Pain, pain, pain. When you're abused, when you're physically abused, you got to turn to something to get some help. And then you turn to the Lord and you try not to get involved in sin. How many of you know sin is pleasurable for a season, but it's just a season. The Bible says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. The Lord wants you and I to turn to Him. Here's another interesting thing about being, by the way, you know, we've all seen those movies like Walking Dead and all that stuff. You know, they're a rave to a lot of people. You know why? Because they're actually a picture of the inside of who they are. When you don't know Jesus, you're walking dead. The Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. So even though the Lord can take a bad person and make them better, it's really not about that. It's about taking a dead person and making them alive. That's what Jesus does. He says, you're dead. That's why you can't help yourself. You can't fix yourself. All you got is sin options. Until you come to Jesus, you don't have anything but sin options. You can try and try and try, but until you surrender to the God who can heal you, when you completely surrender to Jesus Christ, then He'll break the back of the sin's power in your life. Is it easy? No, not when you've been doing it, not when you're real good at it. How many of you have been real good sinners? I'm just not as good as it now. It kind of busted me, you know what I mean? Like if I can't get into it the way I used to. Because I've opened my heart to Jesus and the goodness of God has encamped upon me. And there's a grace that I can draw upon. Every now and again, the devil throws something in my brain and I want to go do something stupid because I'm just a human. But you know what? I catch myself more and more and more because I'm old enough to realize that's a waste of life and a wasted detour of life. It's not going to do me any good. I felt like inside the Lord says, yeah, you've learned, haven't you? You know, the other crazy thing about the leper is that in that culture and in that day, because leprosy was infectious. Have you been around certain people and they want to draw you into sin? They want to get you infected with it. You quit smoking and somebody, every smoker around you hands you a cigarette. Everybody, people that don't smoke are handing, yeah, it's crazy. The devil's all over it. Hey, didn't you used to smoke? You want something? Get some. Is that right? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Hey. It's true, isn't it? But the leper was infected and had to declare out loud to people, unclean. You realize the psychological damage of your soul that when you're walking down the road yelling unclean about yourself so that people won't come and get around you? You realize a sense of the depth of loneliness, the depth of feeling abandoned, the depth of rejection, the depth, listen, just the worthlessness alone. Feeling worthless because you got to yell out, unclean. Get away, unclean. I bet you there are people in here today that have a degree, a percentage of rejection and unhealed things in your life. And I bet you this, I bet you don't walk around yelling, I'm worthless, but I bet you walk into a room and think it. Some of you in here today will walk into a room going, I'm less than what I need to be. I don't have what it takes. I don't measure up. And that's inside. That's inside of you. And you may not be a leper, but you're infected with sin and you have an image of yourself that's not God's image of you. And you declare these things out loud in your mind. You may not say them to people. I know the routine. I know it well because I used to reject people before they could reject me. I was broken and wounded in that way. I'm just so glad I know Jesus. I'm just so glad that he's worked in my life and taken away the rejection. I used to be rooted in rejection. But God can do surgery on you. God can work in your heart and he can take out the bitterness and the hurts if you partner with him. Is it easy being on the table, getting your heart surgery from Jesus? Oh no. Is it worth it? Oh yeah. He changes your life. So you can move on instead of having to think about yourself in this way. Now here's the deal. I don't know how he knew. I don't know when he knew. I don't understand all the dynamics about the leper, but here's the reality. He got in his mind. Somewhere, somehow, somebody's testimony, somebody said something, he got in his mind that Jesus could help him. And somehow, somewhere, somebody has shared something with you, and you got it in your mind that Jesus can help you. You're here today. I was praying with some friends on Good Friday service. I was standing right there, and I felt the Lord say, in my heart, he moved in my spirit, and I had this kind of a flash moment where I felt like the Lord said, I'm drawing people, and I actually have assigned seating. And so if you're here today, you're right where you belong. Jesus has brought you, and he's put you in your seat. You may have thought you picked it, but the Lord said, here's where I'm going to have you sit right here. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. That means you're special, that he set a table for you, and that your meaning is, there's meaning in your life for him right now. He's here to serve you something that nobody ever else can give to you. I don't know how the leper knew. Maybe you heard somebody's testimony. I know this. I want to say this. That this story is in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 10, 10 more lepers came. That when the Lord finished with this leper, his testimony went back and more came. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody's testimony, your testimony of the goodness of the Lord will bring others to come before Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So what happened? Real simple. This is a big point to me. The leper saw Jesus. And unless you see him, you'll never change. You have to see Jesus for yourself. A lot of people come and they look at a minister, but it ain't the minister. A preacher can preach Jesus. A good friend can model or help you with Jesus, but they're not Jesus. You got to see Jesus, not the people that represent Jesus. You got to see Jesus for yourself. You've got to come and see, have your eyes open and see nobody's going to be able to help me but Jesus himself. And then you know that, and when you know that, here's the deal. Only man can give you a hand out, but only the Lord can give you a hand up. He will lift you up out of your condition. How many are really grateful for the times when you've seen the Lord? Everything has fallen apart in your life. You've tried to go and get your help from men. Everybody's failed you. And you're about to give up. And suddenly the Holy Spirit draws you with tender cords of love. And he's drawing you to himself. And you look up and you see Jesus. And now your faith is not in man. There's 594 chapters before Psalm 118, and there's 594 chapters on either side Psalm 118. And the middle verse in Psalm 118, the middle chapters of the Bible, it is better to take refuge in God than to put trust in man. Put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Tell the person next to you. Go and touch somebody. Tell them, you put your hope in Jesus. Hey, tell them, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. Don't look at me. Because broken people need help, and you can point them to Jesus. That's the whole point. This guy went back, and he was so transformed. They said, what happened? He says, I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus. And until you see Jesus, you will not change. And my prayer today is that you see Jesus. You see Jesus. You see him in his glory. King David was just overwhelmed with feeling distraught. Feeling distraught. Oh, God, you are my God. I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And David is like distressed and just in anguish. And then he says, I went into your sanctuary. I looked upon you in the sanctuary upon your power and your glory. And he has a shift because he sees the Lord. He shifts and he says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. When you see the Lord, you begin to understand that his steadfast love is better than life. And then the Bible says this. By the way, he didn't stop with just seeing the Lord. What did he do next? Everybody say, he fell on his face. Come on, he fell on his face. He fell on his face. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under the hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. It's about humbling your heart. He fell on his face. You can't be prideful and say, well, God, do something. I see you, God, do something. And poison your own soul with a bad attitude. But humility is responded to. And humility opens the door and the floodgates of grace. When you see Jesus, are you proud or are you humble? You have a choice. My prayer today is that you not only see him, that you humble your heart before him, that you begin to understand that he can do it for you. When you see him, he will take you out of your leprous condition. It doesn't matter how many piles of sin that are upon your life. If you humble your life before him, he will unpile it all off of you. He came to take it all. There's something so beautiful about the nature of how Jesus takes shame from us. It's so beautiful. It's so, how many of you have had the Lord lift shame? You know the Lord forgave you, but you just haven't forgiven yourself. I have some advice for you. Humble yourself and behold what Jesus has done. The Bible declares those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall not be ashamed. He'll lift you and you'll have glory on your face because you no longer walk in condemnation of your own personal failure. Let Jesus take the keys of his loving forgiveness and unshackle you today because you fall on your face before him humbly. The next thing that happened is he begged the Lord and he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The leper was so broken, so rejected in society, he didn't want to get his hopes up. And Jesus saw this and had compassion. He figured it was God's will, but he didn't know if it was God's will for him. How many of you have been in that? Today, you say, okay, I know God can do it, but will he do it for me? And this was the heart of this man. If you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. Here's the point of this. Once you've seen Jesus, and once you've humbled your heart, something else is required. Are you ready? You must ask. You must come to the Lord and ask him what you want. Ask him what you want. He requires that. What do you want? Over and over, Jesus, what do you want? What do you want? He needs you to state your request before him. And then when you do, there's a response. Jesus says, This is Jesus' response. He didn't talk to him first. If you will, Lord, you can make me clean. This is Jesus' response. He touched him. What you going to do? Jesus says, will you make me clean, Jesus? That's a leper, an infectious leper. Jesus comes and puts his hand on the infectious leper. Jesus comes and puts his hand on the place that you're so ashamed of. He puts his hand right there in that place that you're ashamed of who you are. He says, will you make me clean? Says Jesus. Comfort's coming. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and he made me whole. And then here's the thing about Jesus, and this is the thing that each of us learn who are walking with him. Are you ready? He touches the untouchables. Jesus is not afraid of your condition. He's not hopeless about your condition. He's not despondent about your condition. He hasn't framed up your condition the way you have framed it up. He sees what you need, and he knows that the answer to every prayer is more of him. I need, Jesus says, here I am. Most people think I get a little of Jesus and then work it out myself. Oh, foolish one. Until you master that his life only living in you is victory. When you surrender, when you're on your face over and over and over and realize, I can't do it. And he says, finally. Like Paul, finally. Paul mastered it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. He learned it. And then Jesus, he said, I will be clean. Everybody say, I will be clean. Now, in this situation, instantly, the leper began to be healed. The leper, his leprosy left immediately. And for us today, your sin leaves instantly. It leaves instantly. Bring your life to Jesus Christ today. See him. See the Lord. See Jesus. Fall on your face before him. Ask him to make you clean, and Jesus will make you clean. I want to just tell you this. This is serious. All of it's serious, but I want to tell you something that I've been putting a lot of the Word of God into my heart lately, because these are the last of the last days, and people are, they're acting like it's no big deal if I serve God or not. And the Bible talks very specifically about making it all the way to the end. And not lip service, but a life dedicated to the person, not having idols in their life, but casting down idols and coming to know Jesus himself and building your life around the one who loves you the most. Is it hard? It's a challenge, isn't it? And there's so many things to draw you away, and it's so easy to be drawn away. Jesus actually said these words. It's been not haunting, but it's really a reality, because when Jesus gets up and when he's talking to the people, he used these things called parables, and they had to have these little secrets in them. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that's cast into the sea and gathers fish of every kind. And when it is full, the men draw the net ashore and they sit down and they sort the good fish into containers, and the bad they throw away. And so it shall be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the evil from the good and throw them into the fiery furnace. And in that place there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And John, who went to heaven, wrote the book of Revelation, came back. And this is what he saw. He said, I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. And earth and sky fled away. There was no place in his presence for the earth and the sky. And the dead, great and small, were all gathered before the throne. And the books were opened. And then another book, the book of life. And they were judged according to what was in the books. The sea gave up the dead that was in them. Death and Hades gave up the dead that was in them. And they all came and stood before him to be judged according to what each one had done. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name is not written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Where are you going in your life? Are you headed toward Jesus Christ? Are you headed away from him? Where are you going in your life? I'm pleading that you would change and come like this leper and see Jesus and humble your heart and break free into the reality of the depth of his love for you. That your name be written. Maybe you walked with him a long time ago, but buddy, that don't count. You've got to walk all the way to the end. There's a great falling away today. People think they're going. I feel real bad for them. I don't know the end of your situation. Because if you're not red hot on fire for Jesus and you lukewarm, he will spew you out of his mouth. Hot or cold, he said. He's going to separate people out. He died to free you from your sins. He took it upon himself. He gave himself on the cross. No greater love than this, than one give his life for a friend. He calls us his friends. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to invite you now, just to, if you wouldn't mind, to stand with me. I lifted my voice a little bit there. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just wanting to declare a reality, a truth. A truth. Because here's the truth. The truth is this, that today you make a decision. And the decision is truly a decision. You can walk out of here and say, I'll make a decision later. Let me tell you, if there's an airplane going to take off and you say, I'll catch it later, and it takes off before you get there, you've decided not to go. And you can do better by coming to Jesus. He doesn't define you by your failures. He never defines you by your failures. Jesus defines you by the way he sees you, and he sees you as his loving child. He deeply cares for you. There's a breastplate, but it's not a godly breastplate. It's like hardness of heart built up on somebody, and I just had a picture, and it fell off. Somebody in here, the weights, the guard that you've had on your heart is coming down. It's coming down. Let the hardness of heart come 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 down. Let's pray. Just praise the Lord with me. Just praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him with me. Jesus, we come. We want to see You. We want to see You. We want to see You. We will humble our hearts before You. We want to request of You, make us clean in Your eyes. And You reach out and touch. You're reaching out right now. You're reaching out and touching. Bruised places, unwhole places, needy places. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You. We worship You, Lord Jesus. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have never given your heart to Jesus, if you've never given your life to Him, this is your moment. If you have strayed away, this is your moment. If you walked away from the Lord and you're here today, the Lord Jesus says, I have assigned seating for you. I value you and you're very important. And today, there's a change that's going to happen in your heart. Today, the Lord is reaching. He's pulling on your heart. He's tugging your heart. He's pulling you to Him. It's not about me. It's not about the church. It's about having an encounter with Him. Now I want us to all pray a prayer, if you would. I want to ask if you would say it with authority. Say it like you mean it. And then what we're going to have is some people come down here. In fact, I invite them to come down now. And we have, if you're making a first-time commitment after we pray this prayer, if that's you, well, I would really love it if you would come and tell me. Jesus actually said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Hang on. Lift your head, would you, with me? Say, Father God. Let's say it again, loud together. Father God, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Save me. Write my name in the book of life. I completely give You my life today. Help me live in Your life and live for You. In the name of Jesus. Let's praise Him together. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a real consecration moment for some of you in here. It's a turning point. And we've prayed the prayer. We're going to dismiss, and we got some chicken. Man, we got chicken. Boy, we have chicken. We have chicken. We're going to go eat chicken. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 15, 16, it says, I found your words and I ate them, and your words became to me the joy and the delight of my heart. And before you eat the chicken, eat the word. As we dismiss, I would invite, if you are saying, I'm making a commitment to the Lord, just come forward. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.